1 Samuel chapter 1, the birth of Samuel. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Sufite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Suf, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Amen. May God bless to us that reading of his word. We are saddened by this loss. We did all we could. We can't explain why this happened. These were quotes from a story this week. Does anyone know which story it was? No. It's actually in the news this week. It was to do with the headlines concerning Chan Chan, Edinburgh Zoo, a panda who miscarried her panda in late term. So much publicity given to that panda, and it was sad, but in the scheme of things, compared with your sadness, it pales into insignificance. Today we're not going to talk about pandas, but pain. And the loss that you have maybe suffered, or the lost opportunities that you feel because you don't see yourself being a parent, a mum, or a dad. You're not given that opportunity. So today we're looking at the story of Hannah. And of course, the Bible mentions a lot about infertility, Sarah, Rebecca, Hannah, Rachel, Elizabeth, to name a few. But as you know, many of these stories of these women who struggle with infertility and pain, not having children, seem to end with a miracle baby. They always seem to end with a miracle baby. So you might be saying, well, why choose the Hannah story today? Because Hannah gets her baby, and many of you don't. But I think the story of Hannah gives us an insight into what we can go through, or you are going through, or have gone through. So as we look at this story together, and as we bring this conference to a close, we'll look at this as hope, yes, but hope deferred. Elkanah, we're told, had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. And year after year, the family went up to Shiloh to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord. And Joshua had brought the tabernacle to Shiloh. Elkanah was a man of God from the tribe of Levi. Israelite men were required to attend three religious festivals or feasts at the tabernacle annually. And the festival referred to here is probably the Feast of Tabernacles, commenced or commemorated God's care for his people in the Exodus and celebrated also the harvest crop. And it was also a time of celebrating God's blessing. And it was particularly hard for Hannah to be there because she was not blessed of the Lord. Her name means grace and favor, but it would seem that Hannah had not received any grace or favor from the Lord. So together we'll look at this under three very short headings: Hannah's problems, Hannah's prayer, and thirdly, Hannah's peace. First of all, Hannah's problems. She had no children, and especially at this time of this festival of celebration and thanksgiving, that's when Peninnah really gave her a hard time. It was a difficult place for her to go when everyone else was giving thanks for God's grace and favor. In the culture of the time, a woman's role was really to have children, and if she was unable to, she was a shame on her husband, and he could divorce her or take another wife in order to continue the family line. And that's probably why Elkanah has two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Now, polygamy was never part of God's plan or intention, and of course it leads only to relational heartache, as we see here with Peninnah. And we're also told a significant fact that Hannah had no children because the Lord had closed her womb. And that's repeated in verse 6. The Lord had closed her womb. And that's sometimes hard for us to accept, that it is the Lord who has maybe denied us that opportunity of having children, or having children the way that we would expect. So this infertility really was a problem for Hannah, especially as God had promised to bestow his grace and favor in Israel by bestowing that nation with children. But for Hannah, there was no grace, there was no favor, even although her name meant that. The psalmist would say that children are a gift from God. They're a reward, they're a blessing from him. But God doesn't bless everyone with children, and that's very hard for us to understand and to accept. If we are the ones who have no children, no matter how dearly we would love to be parents, or no matter how good we would be as parents, and many people would comment along these lines concerning us. So the Lord bestows this blessing on some and not on others. And he says through the prophet Isaiah, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." And it's really particularly difficult when we have no children. And when we see others who have children and maybe don't value them or care for them the way that we would. And there are some who are given a child, maybe for a short time. It's not easy to pray, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So why does God allow us to suffer this way? The answer is, we don't know. But we do know that as Christians, we are not exempt from this suffering. The apostle says, "We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So Hannah had this problem of not having children. Her second problem was Penina. We read, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And we're told that this went on year after year until she, Hannah, wept and wouldn't eat. And it's ironic that Penina was jealous of Hannah. You would expect it to be the other way around. Penina knew that Elkanah loved Hannah. Hannah may have been given a double portion of meat, but Penina wanted to make sure that she couldn't enjoy it. And in our own experience, sometimes people can be jealous of us because of our careers, our houses, our holidays, or whatever. But they have something that we don't. And I remember someone saying that in our own situation when we went through years of thinking that we wouldn't be parents. People said, well, you've got everything. But there was that longing for a child in our hearts. But people said, you've got everything. They were jealous, as you could say, maybe of what we had, but we might have been jealous of what they had. So people have the ability to ease suffering or to increase suffering. And Penina, sadly, it was in the second category. There are people who rub us up the wrong way. There are people who cause us problems. But we too can be a problem by the way we react to them. Our attitude, even to those who might have what we dearly want to have. It's not easy to rejoice with those who rejoice at the news of a birth of a baby. It's much easier to mourn with those who mourn. It's easier to cut ourselves off from situations where there will be families and celebrations and fun and children. But we have to decide where we fit in, what our role is going to be in our family. We can be a good aunt or uncle or godparent. We mustn't avoid situations. It's not easy. But it's definitely better in the long run to try and engage. So she had a problem of not having children. She had a problem with this rival, Penina, who really irritated her. Especially at this year-to-year festival that she had to go to. And also a problem for Hannah was her partner. Hannah's partner was also a problem in the way he addressed her and addressed her stress in the situation that she found herself in. He certainly favored her. He loved her. He gave her a double portion of meat. But the Lord had closed her womb, and he was really trying his best for the situation. He was a good guy, definitely. He was a good husband. He loved her. He gave her the place of honor at the festival. He did his best to console her. But he lacked understanding of the situation. He lacked the understanding why Hannah was acting and reacting the way she was at certain situations. And he asks all these questions. Why? In fact, he asks four questions. Why are you weeping? The stupid question. But maybe it was just at a particular time she would just burst out weeping, as we sometimes do. But she says, well, I'm weeping because I don't have any children. And she, Penina, keeps irritating me. She keeps reminding me of it. And again, you've experienced people with stupid questions. You know them and you see them coming. Do you have children? How many children do you have? And you start trying to explain, well, no, but we've got two dogs. Or maybe, you know, you start trying to explain your situation. And We don't really need to do that. And there are times that you too just burst out weeping when you get reminders of your particular situation. And it can happen at the most random time. Sometimes the tears just come. And sometimes your partner doesn't really fully understand. And it really is a lonely place to be in. And this can really affect us, not just emotionally, but physically, because he asks her, secondly, why don't you eat? And this is a common reaction when we are in anguish of soul, because we either don't eat, or we go to the other extreme and we don't stop eating, or comfort eating, or even comfort drinking. Third question, why are you downhearted? There are times we just say, we can't just keep this front up any longer. We can't just pretend everything is fine. Because it's really hard to hide the pain behind a mask all the time. And it's really good if you have someone who understands, someone you can confide in. Hannah had no one. And then he says, but surely I mean more to you than 10 sons. Look, you've got me. What more do you need? Who more do you need? Just be happy. Just be satisfied with your lot in life. Friends, you might have the strongest relationship with your partner, but there are times when, I'm speaking from this side of the fence, he can be insensitive, but he too has fears and frustrations. There is a stigma of not being able to father a child, the stigma of not being able to be a real man. And he copes in a different way. Men are from Mars. And sometimes what's in here doesn't come out the right way. A husband can long for a child, but he can express himself in a different way. Two people in a relationship will not feel exactly the same way, will not react the same way, and we need to remember that. And sometimes your spouse will feel secure in himself or herself. That's what Elkanah says. Look, am I not enough? Why can't we be happy? Just the two of us. Well, much better than other couples. At least we've stuck together. But not even the most loving spouse can fill that void and take that place of that long child or fill the void of a lost baby. Elkanah had other children. And he wasn't really understanding. So whatever you're going through in your personal relationship, it's really important to talk about it in the right way, at the right time, not to force things and not to falsify what is real. But bring it out in the open, and really only then can things be dealt with. And that's why conferences like this are really good. We really, really appreciated the one we did last year in Inverness, and from what I've heard today, I think you've really appreciated coming together as well. But the most important thing that we can do, and maybe this is what we do at the end of the day, is what Hannah does. We see her problems, we see her pain, but we also see her prayer. She was a woman of faith. And living a life of faith does not mean we don't have problems. On the contrary, Christian life is hard. And God uses suffering at times to accomplish his purposes for our lives. Personal suffering affects our self-esteem. Personal suffering affects our self-worth. And Hannah was really low. She refers to her misery, verse 11. She refers to her great anguish and grief, verse 16. Suffering is always a process. It always takes time. And Hannah's suffering was prolonged month after month, year after year. And you know that yourselves, even checking if there's a pregnancy this month or next month, and that dreadful treadmill that we just can't get off. Her faith was tested, but she did continue to trust in the Lord until one day when they had all finished eating and drinking, and the NIV says, Hannah just stood up, verse 9. It's as if there's a change in her attitude. She's gone through all this, but she stands up. Hannah stood up. She had come to an end of herself. She prays from her heart. She pours out her soul to the Lord. Penina didn't understand her. The priest, Eli, didn't understand her. Her partner, Elkanah, didn't understand her. But she has to go somewhere with her pain. And she comes before the Lord in bitterness of soul. She wept much and she prayed to the Lord. Psalm 130 says, Lord, from the depth to you I cried. And you can associate with that today, I'm sure. But have you ever cried this way? Her prayer comes from her very being. And she gives the Lord his place. O Lord Almighty, she humbles herself. Your servant, if only you will look upon your servant. Don't forget me, remember me. And she makes a vow. If you will give me a son, then I will give him back. So in this prayer, she makes a promise, a pledge to God. And she did, in fact, keep her word. But perhaps we shouldn't do this, although we might be tempted to. Maybe we've done it because sometimes we just can't keep our vows, especially the ones that we make in the depth of despair. But it is good to hand our child back to the Lord, no matter how long or short we might have him or her. So Hannah is misjudged by the priest Eli. And often it's in the place that we should find comfort and understanding and sensitivity is often the place that we don't. She was in Shiloh, where the people of God were, and they were celebrating and the goodness of God. And sometimes our priest, our pastor, our people don't really understand the situation. And sometimes it's in the place of worship. It's in our Shiloh, our church, where we experience the greatest insensitivity from a people who should know better. It certainly was the same for Hannah. She could have refused to go to Shiloh to worship the Lord because it was there that she endured her greatest persecution year after year. And sometimes it's tempting for us to avoid the place of worship because that actually is the hardest place to go at times amongst God's people. Especially when there are different celebrations that are connected with family and parenthood. But she continued to go year after year. And again, sometimes we have to force ourselves to face people, even face these caring, comforting Christian people. And Hannah's forced to defend herself before Eli, who had got it completely wrong. She says, look, I haven't been drinking. And don't take me for a wicked woman. But I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I have been praying here in great grief and anguish. And there is this release from what she's saying so openly to the priest and a freedom for her in this. She is a woman with a heavy heart. And yes, you have a heavy heart today. And she's pouring out her soul to God. I cry out to the Lord. I lift my voice up to the Lord for mercy, says the psalmist. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him, I tell him my trouble. So with bitterness of soul, with grief and despair, she pours out her anguish, and God allows her to do that. And fourthly, she now experiences God's peace. She receives a blessing from the Lord. And it seems that she gets her peace when she gives the Lord her heavy load, her burden, when she casts all her cares on Him and takes a focus off herself and her situation and puts them back on the Lord and gives the Lord His rightful place, the center of her life. So in worshiping Him and bringing everything to Him, she now can step back in peace. It's like that verse the Lord tells us to cast all our burdens upon Him. So the question for us and for you today is, as you leave the conference, is can you continue to walk your walk of faith day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? Can you really accept God's plan for you? Can you keep Him at the center of your life, your marriage, your situation? Can you make Him the focus of faith and adoration and accept that He knows best? Hannah's hope was hope deferred. She did receive the child that she longed for. Her face was no longer downcast. She received a promise. She conceived, she gave birth to a son, Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." Friend, your story is not over yet. You may receive the promise, you may not. You may receive the promise in a way that you wouldn't expect. You may choose to adopt or foster after today, you may choose not. You may choose to get more involved. But take everything to the Lord in prayer. There is a purpose, there is a plan, and behind everything there is the Master's hand. In our lives, like Hannah's life, there are pains, there are problems, but there's also the gift of prayer. There is a love that will never let us go. And Hannah had to hand Samuel back to the Lord. And maybe you've had to experience that as well. David said, "Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." That's a very difficult one. You will question the path of pain and suffering, of receiving and losing. You will say, "Why me, Lord? Why this dark, desperate path, this insurmountable grief?" But the dark cords are necessary. Just last week, we were in Corrie Ten Boom's house. And if you read her book, The Hiding Place, she says everything was just so ordinary. And then all of a sudden, everything changed in our life. But she could say, and she could quote, "Years later, having lost her family, not till each loom is silent and the shuttle ceased to fly, shall God reveal the pattern and explain the reason why. The dark threads were as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver for the pattern that he had planned." And we know, do we not, that all things do work together for good for those who love the Lord, those who have been called according to His promise, His purpose. And we know that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And the verse that really stood out when putting this short talk together for me was that Hannah stood up. After assessing her problems, her pain, she was ready to face her situation. She was ready to deal with it by taking it to the Lord in prayer. So friends, today, together, as we stand up at the end of this conference and as we make our way out to our situation, to our world, to our life, let's take our problems and pains to the Lord, knowing that His peace that passes all understanding will sustain us. So you need to stand in the face of your difficult situation. And you need to stand on every promise of His word. Every promise. When I'm faced with anguished choice, I will listen for your voice. And I'll stand on every promise of your word. Through this dark and troubled land, you will guide me with your hand as I stand on every promise of your word. And you've promised to complete every work begun in me. So I'll stand on every promise of your word. Hope that lifts me from despair. Love that casts out every fear as I stand on every promise of your word. Not forsaken, not alone, for the comfort that has come. And I stand on every promise of your word. Grace sufficient, grace for me, grace for all who believe. We will stand on every promise of your word. So can we stand together and pray? Lord, we read together in this story that you've given us that Hannah stood up. And Lord, we stand today, and you know us. You know our situation. You know our pain. You know the perplexities of our particular situations that have been with us year after year, maybe. But Lord, today we stand on your promises. We stand on your grace. We stand in your mercy. We stand on every promise of your word for us personally today. Bless everyone here. Lord, I thank you for them all. Thank you for Alan Val for organizing this event with the team. Lord, we believe much healing has taken place over these hours today. Lord, we believe that we will stand together and try and get understanding in the Church of God, in our own congregations, in people's lives, Lord, an understanding of the agony and the turmoil and the tension and the tiredness that this problem of loss and infertility brings to so many of us. But we thank you, Lord, for your healing hand. And we thank you that your hand will guide us as we stand on every promise of your word. Amen.